Well, good morning. We finally get to begin our series in 1 Samuel. I'm excited about what God is going to teach us through His Word. I'm excited about what we're going to learn about the character and purposes of God, not only for Israel, but for us here at Grace Church. So why don't we open up our Bibles to 1 Samuel. This morning sermons will be very, very short. We have, as already announced, Miss Pearl with us this morning, and the majority of the time this morning we'll be listening to her and hearing what God is doing through her life and what God has done to save her and redeem her, and now how He's using her for His glory. Did you find it? 1 Samuel chapter 1. The title of today's sermon is God is Faithful. I'm going to start reading with verse 1 of chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 20. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word? There was a certain man of Ramathian, Zophin, of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuth, and Epaphrite. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your servant and remember me, and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall ever touch his head." And she continued praying before the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my lord. I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, for she said, "I have asked for him from the Lord." This is God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for stories that relate to us, your purposes in Israel. And we thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful God. We love you. We know you love us. You proved it by sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for us while we were still your enemies. This I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Actually, the book of 1 Samuel is one. Let me just restart that. 1 and 2 Samuel is actually one book. In the Hebrew text, it is all one book. Only later did the authors or did the compilers of the Bible separate them into 1 and 2, 1 and 2 Samuel. 1 and 2 Samuel, or Samuel, were written during a very, very dark time in Israel, dark spiritually. God was rarely heard from. We see that in chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. This is a period called the time of the judges. It was a period after Joshua had entered the land and conquered the land. It was a time for about 350 years. Remember that the United States is only 238 years old, so about 120 years more than what we have existed as a nation. God had fulfilled already two of his three promises that he had made to Abraham. He had given them a land. He had made them a great nation. And they're in the land. And Joshua challenges the people at the end of the conquest. In Joshua chapter 24, we have these words. Joshua says to the people, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him sincerely and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in the Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whom land you dwell. But as for me and my house, you know it, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered Joshua, and they said this, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed." But only one generation after Joshua challenges the people to serve God, and they say, "Yes, we will," we find these words in the book of Judges, in Judges chapter 2. "And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years old. And they buried him within the boundaries of his inheritance. And all that generation were also gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. All the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baals." This began a downward spiral, a downward cycle of rebellion, repentance, and God's gracious deliverance through the judges in Israel's history. 1 Samuel is written during a time of idolatry, a time of disobedience, a time where the word of God was not listened to and was not followed. The time of the judges is described by the last verse of the book of Judges, where the author pens these words, and he says, In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And we will see those words played out again over and over and over again in the book of 1 Samuel. But in these few verses that I read this morning, we see this illustrated, this darkened spirituality, this barrenness illustrated in the life of Hannah. Well, how so? She was a godly woman. We see that from the text. But she lived in a culture which no longer feared, no longer reverenced, no longer obeyed God. So how does she? How does her life illustrate the spiritual barrenness of Israel? Well, back 450 years earlier, before this book is written, just a couple pages in our Bibles, but lots of history, lots of things have happened. Remember Columbus when he sailed the blue? What was that? 1492. That was about the time, plus a few years, that Moses had received the law on Mount Sinai, and he passed it on to the people many, many years before 1 Samuel. We fail to remember this sometimes. We just read a few pages and we think, well, that was quick. It wasn't quick. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Moses had said this to the people of God, inspired by God, as he received the law on Mount Sinai, he said this in Exodus chapter 23. Pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if you carefully obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. When my angel goes before you and brings you to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, I will blot them out. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do as they do. But you shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars in pieces. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take away sickness from among you. Look at this verse, verse 26. None shall miscarry or be barren in your land. Notice that last verse. None shall be barren. But Hannah is. Israel as a nation is disobeying God, and its people are suffering the consequences. Even righteous Hannah. God himself has promised that if Israel chose to disobey, he would judge them and deliver them to other nations, and that is what has been happening in the book of Judges in the beginning of 1 Samuel. The Philistines occupy Israel, the promised land. There are several judges that we're familiar with. Samuel is one of them. But before him, there were Deborah, Gideon, Samson, just to name a few. So this is the background. This idolatry, this spiritual barrenness, this darkness is the background in which we find 1 Samuel. But God is bigger than the background we live in, the context in which we find ourselves. And if we think about our United States, very, very similar in context. God is bigger than our background. God is faithful to his people. God has not forgotten Israel. He has not forgotten Hannah. There are several more themes that we find in the book of Samuel, and I'm going to just briefly point them out, and then we're going to listen to Miss Pearl. One theme is the kingship of God. Long before there is a king in Israel, there is a king on the throne in heavens. Psalms 45, verse 6 says this. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of unrighteousness. This good and this righteous king, this eternal king, works all things out according to his providential guidance. The course of each of the characters in Samuel is different, but is not determined by fate or chance, but by a personal, all-knowing, and all-powerful God who is king. God is working in Israel because he is faithful king. Even though it may not seem like it, God will fulfill his plans and purposes. Another theme in the book of Samuel is that God does speak to his people, and when he speaks, he demands obedience, complete obedience. As we close this morning, and I told you it would be quick, I just want you to know that this woman, Hannah, is barren. And she is being mocked for being barren by this fertile wife. She is loved, but not understood by her husband. And she is falsely accused by the man who represented God to Israel. And yet, despite her agony, despite her pain, despite her circumstances, she cries out to God in faith, and God hears her cry. That is the story of God, my dear brothers and sisters. God's people cry out to Him in faith despite their circumstances. And sometimes because of their circumstances, and God hears them. Today we have with us Miss Pearl Willis. A woman who personifies the faithfulness of God. I promise you, as you listen, you'll laugh, you'll clap, and you'll cry. But this isn't about Miss Pearl, any more than the story of the Bible is about Miss Hannah. It is about God and how He chooses to use people, simple people, to carry out His plan to redeem the world. We serve a faithful God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Hannah, who in spite of her circumstances and because of her circumstances, she cried out to a faithful God. And the life that we see given to her by the Holy Spirit of God in her womb is the life that we will begin to see being made anew in the land of Israel. Encourage us this morning, Lord, with your faithfulness as we listen to Miss Pearl. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.